Welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I am your host, Daniel Wade, joined today again by John Kegley, my co-host today. And we have some exciting news. The 53-man roster is out, and we have football this week. The Chargers' first game is this Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs in a game that feels much more important than normal first week of the season games, because it has so many implications about this team and what they really are. But first, just to give you a little background on us, we started a Chargers Domination Live Facebook show 3 years ago when we started covering the Chargers for San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We're both writers for San Diego Sports Domination. And that's what led us to pick this up with the Locked On Chargers podcast in the Locked On Podcast Network, to give you guys an everyday show that we can get to you more often and every day of the week. So on today's show, we're going to get into some news, including some new signings. I'm glad we waited a couple days, because that original 53-man roster isn't what the team ended up as. So now we kind of got to see what the roster looks like after other teams cut players of their own. The Chargers scooped up a couple of those guys. Oh, and, you know, Antonio Gates signed with the Chargers. But we're also going to get into everyone that did make this 53-man roster and what we think of those decisions. But first, how are you doing, John?
Doing good. It's finally game week, man. It's make or break time for the Chargers with this week one game.
And you don't say that very often, but when you're playing a team like Kansas City that has beaten you so many times consecutively, it seems like that's the watermark of if the Chargers are a changed team or not, because they have an inability to get past the AFC West, and in particular, the Chiefs. When you haven't beat a team since 2013, you don't really feel like the season has changed very much until you can actually knock that team off. And the last time the Chargers beat the Chiefs, they ended up making it into the playoffs, and they were also playing against their backups, John. So it is a very important game this week. But the big news of the day is the Chargers signed Emmanuel Ellerbe. Okay, not the name that you thought I was going to say there. The Chargers did pick up Emmanuel Ellerbe, an inside linebacker that bounced around a few teams but was last seen on the Atlanta Falcons. And he replaced Hayes Hullard, who made it on the initial 53-man roster, but he was waived for this guy. So, John, are you excited to see what this guy can do? Because I know you liked what you saw out of Hayes Hullard in the preseason.
LRB better show something, because Hayes Hullard was starting to look pretty good. I mean, he was probably the best performing linebacker in the whole preseason, in my opinion. The only guy that you could say was maybe better was Nwosu, but LRB takes his spot on the roster. So I want to see if this guy is a real deal guy, because Hayes Pillard looked really bad last year, but he has improved a lot this year. And I thought he was starting to make a run for the roster and maybe even a long-term career with the Chargers, with how much he improved. He could have improved even more the next year.
Yeah, and then two words you didn't use many times for Hayes Pillard last year, and that was explosive and sure tackling, which were, I mean, very big surprises for me, John, because neither one of those were big attributes for Hayes Pillard last year, and he had a lot of playing time in Gus Bradley's system, with Denzel Perryman going down. And then when you also only have Nick DeZubner, spoiler alert, on the roster, on the team, I mean, that doesn't give you a lot of depth that you know can produce on the field, because we know Nick DeZubner is a special teams guy more than he is a real linebacker, but he also led the league in special teams tackles last year, so it's no surprise that he makes the list. And then the next guy, John, kind of lesser-known guy the Chargers picked up, was T.Y. McGill, which actually played on the Chiefs and a couple other teams, but still hasn't really had an impact in the NFL, but is another body to throw in amongst those defensive interior linemen.
Yeah, I was not expecting this signing, honestly. But this is a guy who's been in the league for 4 years, has played with the Colts and the Browns. I mean, this is the 0-16 Browns that we're talking about here that he played on. And over his career, he's had some sacks. He had about 5 sacks in his career, but that was over a 2-year span that he got those 5 sacks. So he doesn't really have much behind him, but I will say this. The guy is 1 pound short of 300. He's 6 foot 300, which means he's a little bit shorter than your normal D-line guy with almost 300 pounds of weight. So he must have some pretty good explosiveness. And your average offensive lineman is usually about 6'4", 6'6", area. So he's a little bit shorter than him, which means he can get lower than them and probably produce more explosiveness out of the gate.
Well, and I don't think that your height is always a disadvantage for defensive tackles. I mean, when you look at a guy like Aaron Donald, who does what he does in this league and sits around that same height, John, and is an absolute nightmare and uses that to his advantage, like you said, with these super tall offensive linemen. I mean, we had King Dunlap, who was, what, 6'9"?
He was 6'9", 360, and would still get punished by anybody that was shorter than him.
Yeah, and I remember back when I was just a fan, I got his autograph, and Jesus Christ, that guy will make you feel small. And he was standing next to Malcolm Floyd, who was a pretty tall guy himself, and we both left there feeling very small about ourselves. But getting into the real important news of the day, signing that we talked about, and I mean, for it seems like however many months, John, Antonio Gates is back in the building. The Chargers re-signed one of the greatest tight ends of all time to add on for another season. It's hard to get super, super excited, but with the tight end play that we saw in the preseason, I actually am excited, John, even if we know that he's coming back in a somewhat limited capacity, knowing he's not what he was.
He may be coming back in less capacity of what he was, but the knowledge is still there. The chemistry is still there. I know for a fact he may not be as fast as he used to be, but if he could do a little 9-yard route and find that little hook zone in the middle of the linebackers and the safeties, catch that ball, turn around, dive, and pick up a first down, he's going to be just fine. He's going to be exactly what we need. Rojo Green will probably play the first 1 or 2 snaps of the drive, and then if there's a third down, here comes Gates. And in the red zone, it'll probably be more of Gates too, because like I said, he can find that hole in the zone, and it does not take much to do that. All you got to do is know what the defense is doing, run to that spot, find the soft zone, turn around, catch the ball, you're done. You don't need a lot of speed for that.
Yeah, and I think for the haters out there, it's easy to point out what he did last season and how much of a step back you could say that he took last year at his age. But, I mean, and that is all true. I don't want to go out and say, hey, that's not true. He's a great player. He absolutely was a lesser player last season. But once Hunter Henry went out and Antonio Gates was well rested, in his last 2 games, he had 10 catches for over 125 yards and a touchdown. So it's not as if he was going, I mean, it's not as if there was games where he wasn't a huge impact in the game. I mean, I think we know now that in bursts, Antonio Gates can be effective. I'm a little bit concerned with the fact that there's only 3 tight ends because I don't think they're going to have him run blocking very much and using his energy that way. So there's not really a guy that can rotate in the run blocking after Virgil Green and Sean Colkin. So I know we've seen 4 tight ends in the past. Do you think we might see them pick somebody else up, another body, to get into that rotation because one of the guys can't really be in that rotation?
Well, I mean, who would you replace on the roster is the question if they do it. I would like to see them do it. I know Wolford was released by the Jets, and that would be a guy I would think we could pick up. But if you look throughout the roster, who would you cut to bring in another tight end?
Yeah, that is the question. But hey, John, we don't even know who's on the roster yet because we haven't broken it down yet. And that's next. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people always want to ask me for advice. And it's usually who is going to win this week. And the truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. You can lay down some cash and win today. I would highly recommend using this service because they've been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie, because they'll pay you money. You make the bet, they pay, you win. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over or under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. That's pretty damn cool. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, John. Well, I guess it's time to get into the roster breakdown because we now know the 53 players that we think will be here on Sunday. We know most of them, but as we've seen so far this week, just because you've made that 53-man roster doesn't mean that you're actually on the team because Justin Jackson, Hayes Pollard, Cardale Jones all made the 53-man roster just to get cut after that. So now, I mean, since the first round of waivers are gone, I think this it really is probably who you will see this weekend now that Antonio Gates is in the building. But let's start with the offense, John. And I first want to start with the offensive line because I know there's two names that are going to surprise people. The guys that made this list were Joe Barksdale, Forrest Lamp, Mike Pouncey, Russell Okung, Dan Feeney, Michael Schofield, Sam Tevy, Cole Toner?
Yeah, I thought for sure it would have been Spencer Pulley that took that spot. But Cole Toner is the guy that's going to be the backup center to Mike Pouncey over Spencer Pulley. But, I mean, after Spencer Pulley not having the greatest year last year, I guess you can't really blame them for trying to find someone new. But with Mike Pouncey having those hip issues that could become a problem in the season, I would rather have someone that Rivers was a little bit more comfortable taking snaps with to be the backup.
Well, yeah, and then also Scott Questenberry made the team, and we didn't really see much out of him either. But they obviously used a fifth-round pick on him, and so he gets the benefit of the doubt, which really is a stupid concept. I mean, I guess you can't see everything a guy has through training camp and preseason, but you shouldn't keep a guy around if there's better football players that you can have on your team. Geno Smith was tapped as a backup. The Chargers keep two quarterbacks after they waive Cardale Jones, and Cardale Jones moves to the practice squad. No surprises here for me, John. Geno Smith, I think, if anything, just showed how bad and how far behind Cardale Jones really was, so I'm not surprised that they're only running with two right now.
I thought for sure they were going to sign Johnny Manziel to this roster.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I totally agree. There's no debate here. I totally agree with having only Rivers and Geno Smith. Rivers seems to play the whole year out, even with the injury, and Geno was the better of the two backup quarterbacks, and I think Geno's actually going to improve a lot under Rivers and this coaching staff. So if anything does happen, I don't think we're in as big as trouble as anyone thinks. Whereas if we had kept Cardo Jones, you basically could have put us in the same category as the 0-16 Browns.
Oh, gosh. Well, you definitely don't want to be in that category. But let's get to someone who was a surprise. And when I say surprise, I mean he was a surprise at the beginning. But by the end of this training camp and preseason, it was no surprise that Dontrez Newsome, John, made this roster along with Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler. Throw Derek Watt in there too. but no Justin Jackson, no Russell Hansbrough, no Terrell Watson, and you got your final three running backs, and I think it's a good group, John. Dontrez Newsome absolutely earned that spot.
He definitely earned that spot. He played so well. He even had a kickoff return.
63 yards, and it was a beauty.
It was, and it was clutch. And he was also bursting through holes. He would literally grab the ball, run straight forward into whoever was there, and gain whatever 4 yards he could, which is what we need in our running back. It's kind of like a Michael Turner type, if you will. Just grab the ball and run straight forward. Don't care who's there. And he had so many receptions in the passing game, too, that looked so good. He definitely deserved his spot on this roster. And the other guys, like Hansbrough, he got hurt and missed a couple of games. Justin Jackson missed the first 3 games. It's no surprise to me that our draft pick and Justin Jackson and Hansbrough didn't make this roster.
Yeah, and I think maybe if none of those guys showed anything, the Chargers might be more inclined to bring Justin Jackson back. But Dontrez Newsome, I mean, that 63-yard kickoff return, John, that wasn't – he got a good block and there was a seam and he busted through it. He made about 17 guys miss on that play, running back and forth on the field, sideline to sideline, making people miss. And it was just really put his skill set on display. And I think he's a third really different kind of guy you bring into that running back group that's already excels in many areas. You have a quick guy. You have guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You have guys that can hit the hole with power. John, this is a really complete group, and I think we're very happy with the way it went, and I think the Chargers made the right call. And one of the calls I wasn't as high on, John, was a guy that you actually predicted to be on the 53-man roster, and that's J.J. Jones. But I should preface that by saying Artavis Scott did get hurt in the final preseason game, so I feel bad for him. He is now on injured reserve, so he stays around with the Chargers. Nobody else can take him away, even though he's injured. But J.J. Jones, you may know him from taking a punt return back to the house earlier in the preseason. Makes the team, didn't really show much as a wide receiver, but it kind of makes sense with the injury to Artavis Scott. But since J.J. Jones does make the roster, Dylan Cantrell doesn't make the roster.
Dylan Cantrell does not make the roster. He makes the practice squad, though. And
Quincy Clay, which means that he passed waivers, which is good for the Chargers.
Yes, and I'm glad we kept J.J. Jones. The Chargers have lacked a return game for a while. Last year, Travis Benjamin had a couple of good ones. But before that, we hadn't had a punt return for a touchdown since 2009 when Darren Sproles did it against the Broncos, I believe. And we haven't had a kickoff return for a touchdown since Richard Goodman did it against the Raiders in 2011. Other than that, we haven't had anything in this return game. It's literally either a touchback or we return it out to the 18-yard line if we try to return it. Now that we have a return guy on this team, I think this offense becomes even more dangerous because they'll have less of a field to go with a good returner.
Yeah, and then the last position to really round it up is the tight ends, and a group that we already talked about a little bit in the first segment, but Virgil Green, Antonio Gates, Sean Colkin make the final cuts and are what your tight end position looks like now. I think we feel a lot better about it, John, but I don't know if they're necessarily done yet with this group because it's still pretty thin, because if you lose any of these guys, you only have 2 tight ends left and have to pick up somebody off the streets. So it still looks like a pretty thin group to me, John, but Antonio Gates definitely makes you feel a little bit better about it.
It definitely does make you feel better because you have a guy with experience that knows what to do in the passing game, whereas Virgil Green even dropped a wide-open pass in his first target of the preseason. And then Sean Colkin has not really impressed anybody in the preseason, but he was the best of the worst, if you will, out of that whole group of tight ends that we had. We had around 7 tight ends on that preseason roster, and Colkin was the best of the worst and has been around for a while. Whereas Gates is literally a guy who's experienced, has chemistry with Phillip Rivers, knows how to read a defense, and can still out-jump a guy in the end zone if he needs to.
I mean, I would like to see him out-jump somebody. I don't know if we're seeing that this year. But he definitely knows how to position himself to get himself in the right position to make a play. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But he is a basketball player, so, I mean, I won't doubt him too much. And with Sean Colkin, he didn't make a lot of plays, especially in the passing game. But I definitely thought his run blocking was improved from last season and what we saw out of him in preseason last year. And I know the coaching staff is really high on him when it comes to that. So I'm going to trust their judgment very carefully because I'm still not sold on this group. But there's a couple more groups that have even bigger question marks, to be honest with you, John, and we're going to get to that next. All right, John, now it's time to get to our defensive side of the ball. Who made the team on the 53-man roster after the first round of waivers has gone through? And we see the guys sitting on the Chargers roster right now. I want to first start with a predictable one, and that is the cornerback group, which is led by the obvious starters, Casey Hayward, Trevor Williams, Michael Davis, Desmond King, Craig Mager. Those are all the obvious guys. The one little surprise, John, is Brandon Faison, who had the one interception that really was just an overthrow, but we were wanted to see more of, and he actually makes the team. I was a little surprised by that.
I was surprised, too. I didn't think he was going to make this team. He hasn't had the greatest preseason. As you mentioned, he had the one interception, but other than that, it hasn't really been the greatest preseason, and I thought we could have done more with that roster spot than sign Brandon Faison, but he makes the roster, and so now it's what do we do during the regular season? Because he's probably going to be the guy who doesn't suit up for the games, because before every game, the Chargers are only allowed to suit up 46 people, and there's 7 people that are inactive, which you can see on Twitter. You'll see 7 people not active for the game, and Faison is probably going to be that guy. So could you use him as a guy that you cut for maybe another tight end?
And I think right now all of that remains an option because it's still one of their deeper positions with the pretty good showing, I would say, by Craig Mager and Michael Davis. I think they showed that, hey, they're not star cornerbacks in this league, but as far as depth pieces and backups, I think they're more than serviceable, and I think they're fine. And since they have Brandon Faison, I think that where they left them a little bit lean, John, is the safety group, which only has 4 guys, and it's the 4 guys you expected. Jaleel Adai, Derwin James, Rayshon Jenkins, and Adrian Phillips.
Yeah, throughout the preseason, I didn't really see a safety that I felt would make the team. The only guy that came close was maybe A.J. Hendy, but he ends up making the practice squad instead. I don't really see any safeties that were worthy of a roster spot, but the guys that we have are a special group. We have guys that are full of potential and guys that are full of talent. And we got Jaleel Adai, who can really just take out anybody's legs whenever he wants to.
Yeah, and I think Rayshon Jenkins and Adrian Phillips are both not only backups but key special team guys as well. And what Adrian Phillips saw last year is that as long as you do what you need to do, he found himself as a starter in certain sub-packages. So I think it's a little thin of a group, but I really like all the guys they have there right now. I really like the fact that Derwin James is going to start more than likely alongside Jaleel Adai and just the direction in which the safeties are going. But yeah, like you said, who else are you going to sign? A.J. Hendy? I like him as a practice squad guy, but definitely not a guy who makes an impact on a day-to-day level in the NFL. So let's get into some guys that immediately made an impact at the NFL level. And that's the linebacker, specifically the outside linebacker group. Uchenna Nwosu and Kaiser White, both rookies, both made statements in the preseason, both make the team, obviously. And their backups are Jatavis Brown and Kyle Emanuel.
And what a cliff drop it is between these guys. You probably are looking at those names going, that's a good group of guys. But Jatavis Brown wasn't really the greatest at tackling in preseason, and Kyle Emanuel looked like he improved, but he's still not what you expect him to be. And with White and Nwosu making this roster, which, I mean, did anybody think they weren't? we have a special group of guys that are going to rush the passer and hopefully stop the run. If we can just get a nice little push at the defensive tackle position, we could literally have a special group of linebackers here that are all young and could be here for a while.
Yeah, and speaking of those interior linemen, John, that made the team right now are Brandon Mebane, Darius Filon, Damian Square, the third-round pick, Justin Jones, and a guy they just picked up, T.Y. McGill. Obviously, Corey Legit doesn't count against the active roster or the 53-man roster because he's suspended. So look for him to maybe take T.Y. McGill's spot when he comes back. It's hard right now, John, because you need extra depth because your third-round pick hasn't practiced at all. So it's hard to say what we're going to get out of T.Y. McGill, who we already talked about a little bit. But it still isn't a position group right now that jumps off the page, especially compared to their counterparts on the defensive end.
Yeah, the defensive tackles actually have some pretty good guys that, as far as depth goes. And you got Square, Filon, and Justin Jones is supposed to be pretty good based on what his training camp was said to look like before he got hurt. And then Mebane worries me with how much he was getting pushed around and bullied during preseason. So I expect Square and Filon to get more playing time this year and really show what they're made of. And when Legit comes back, Legit's preseason, I know he was probably playing against some guys that weren't that great sometimes. Sometimes he was playing against first string, but Legit was looking pretty good in preseason. And I don't know if that's things to come or if he was just getting out some anger because he's suspended or whatever, but if Legit could do what he did in preseason during regular season, you know, we could all really just say Mebane who and just let him ride the bench.
And I think the best case scenario for this group is that Brandon Mebane does not have to play a lot, because I think you said it nicely, but Brandon Mebane has played like trash. And it isn't just the preseason. It dates back to last season. When you're an anchor on the defensive line like that, you can't get manipulated and pushed around by the offensive line. So we need young guys to step up in this group. I think there's a couple guys that have the potential to do it, but we're going to have to see it on the field. And a couple guys that we did see it on the field production was Chris Landrum and Isaac Rochelle of the defensive line group, who make the team, backing up Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. And goddamn, this is going to be a hell of a group, John. Chris Landrum and Isaac Rochelle combined for 3 sacks in the 4th preseason game and a forced fumble, and were just wreaking havoc. This is one of the deepest spots on this Chargers roster, and all 4 of these guys have very good talent.
They have some great talent, but those forced fumbles and sacks that you mentioned were against some 3rd stringers, so I want to see what they do. I guess some first stringers with some actual Gus Bradley game planning, because they had some fire. They had some speed. They wanted to get in it. They were hungry to make tackles. It was like watching Nwosu and White at the linebacker position. Those guys were hungry to make sacks and make tackles in the run game. These guys were also hungry to get sacks and rush in there and get past the offensive line. And when you have Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa both doing the same thing, you have a 4-guy rotation that can literally keep guys fresh, which the Chargers have lacked depth the past few years. If you look at it, when we got hurt, it was literally like, oh, well, we're done. We lost one guy and we're done already because we don't have the depth for that guy, and that's going to be our weak point. This year, we got a little bit of depth at these positions on the D-line.
Even though they're going up against backups, we also saw a lot of Chargers that did not excel against those same backups, John. So I think they still stood out in a very positive way. And, yeah, I mean, having those 4 guys coming off the edge in a way and giving Gus Bradley the confidence to be able to rotate his 2 stars, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, out and still feel that he can get a good pass rush like they saw out of Chris McCain last year, I think that's a huge upgrade for this team. And then the other, I think the biggest question mark, John, is the inside linebackers. Obviously, you have Denzel Perryman, and then you waive Hayes Pollard, who's your guy you feel pretty good about, and you keep Nick DeZubner and Emmanuel Ellerby. With the Chargers' struggles on run defense, these 3 guys, and I don't even really want to include Nick DeZubner because I know that he's not a middle linebacker at an NFL level. He's a special teams player. I don't know if I'm stoked about this group right now, John, because that's not a lot of experience behind a guy in Denzel Perry. I mean, that we know is good, but we also know has been fragile in the past.
I absolutely agree with you. Perryman's injury issues, especially last year, you saw what happened when he came back. He shut down Leonard Fournette. And when he was gone, we couldn't stop anybody. We couldn't stop a fly from going through a window. With him being injury prone and not having guys behind him that you could easily say you can rely on, it is definitely a worry. Ellerby, we don't know much about him. He's a guy out of Rice that got cut. What else do you have to say? A rookie from Rice that got cut. He's probably not the greatest person to have as your backup, but he does have some size, being 6'1", 235, so maybe he has some upside to him. Maybe he's that diamond in the rough guy that the Chargers could have this year. You never know.
The word from the Chargers is that they see a lot of speed and physicality with Emmanuel Ellerby. And I mean, they must have seen something because Gus Bradley, I think from his days in Jacksonville, had a thing for Hayes Florida and wanted to play him last year, even when he wasn't playing well. So for them to make this move, especially after he makes the initial 53-man roster, is a surprise. But last but not least, your boy, Caleb Sturgis, wins the kicking battle unconvincingly. And the Chargers only have one kicker, John. Thank God. What do you think about it?
Honestly, I was just sitting back with popcorn waiting to see who makes the roster because if for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, Daniel here is the biggest Griff Whalen and Roberto Aguayo fan you'll ever know. And even people on our Chargers Domination live post were sending messages to Wade after Roberto Aguayo got cut because Wade really did not want to see Roberto Aguayo on this roster, and it's quite obvious that Caleb Sturgis was going to make this roster. He has the contract. Aguayo was the guy that just came in to be competition, to fill camp body positions. And I think Aguayo showed that he could probably be a kicker at some other team for sure, because he had a pretty good preseason. But Sturgis, without a doubt, was the guy that was going to make this team from the beginning just because of a two-year contract.
Yeah, John, I think you could probably say there's 4.5 million reasons why Caleb Sturgis made the team over Roberto Aguayo. And it was a tough weekend. Roberto Aguayo cut, Griff Whalen off the Raiders. I mean, it's been tough. I want to thank everyone for their support and for reaching out to me and, you know, giving me a shoulder to cry on, so to speak. And, you know, I will power through. I will come out on the other side stronger than I was before. And the Chargers might hit more than 2/3 of their field goals this year. So I think we have to feel pretty good about that, John. And I think we feel pretty good about the roster. I know your roster prediction was basically right on. We all thought Antonio Gates was coming back. So we hate to say we told you so. But, hey, guess what? Everyone's saying they told you so. I think that's so funny. When you look everywhere and it's like, oh, I told you so. And it's like, yeah, you and every other person, ounce of intelligence in their brain that knew the Chargers were terrible at tight end, thought that Antonio Gates was coming back. So everyone keep taking credit for that and all your inside sources. I will appreciate what you do in the future. But that's going to do it for today's show, John. Also, guys, make sure the Locked On Podcast Network just launched its college podcast. So there, I know for sure there's an Alabama Locked On Alabama. There's a Locked On Florida State, a Locked On Florida, Locked On Tennessee. Make sure if you guys follow any college teams to check out the Locked On Podcast Network to see if your team is on there. Also, make sure to go follow us at Locked On LAC on Twitter. And you can also go like our page on Facebook. We just started a Locked On Chargers Facebook page to go along with our Chargers Domination Live Facebook page. And there's also a Locked On Chargers group, which we will be doing live shows from on Thursdays. So you guys can ask your questions and we can ask them live and have them air on the podcast the next day. So a really cool opportunity. And then we also have a crossover episode with the host of the Locked On Chiefs coming to you on Wednesday. So make sure to be there for that. And also just keep checking in with this. Keep checking in with us this week. We will be heavy in your weekly schedule because the Chargers play a football game this weekend against the Chiefs. So stay tuned. Check us out. Follow us. And we'll catch you next time. Go Bulls.